Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the OrthoBullets podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of cervical disc arthroplasty found under the spine section at orthobullets.com. Let's begin with a quick summary. Cervical disc arthroplasty is a motion-preserving technique that has been shown to be equivalent and superior in two-level disease to cervical fusion. There is mounting evidence that by avoiding a fusion, adjacent level disease and subsequent reoperation rates are decreased. Primary contraindication is advanced degenerative disease of the facets with associated neck pain. Now let's get into the episode. Let's begin by describing a bit of the history of cervical disc arthroplasty. In 1966, Fernstrom first implanted a stainless steel ball bearing in the cervical spine but reported unacceptable rates of device-related complications. At that time, ACDF was gaining popularity with reports of great clinical success and therefore interest in motion-preserving procedures decreased. In the 1980s and 90s, a renewed interest in cervical ADR resurfaced when lumbar disc arthroplasty gained in popularity in Europe. In 2002, the first report on modern cervical ADR appeared with the premise that it would decrease or prevent adjacent segment disease by maintaining motion. Since 2010, there have been several RCTs demonstrating superiority to cervical fusion with regards to reoperation rate and quicker return to work. Now let's discuss the outcomes. The benefit is that there is a potential to preserve motion, pseudoarthrosis is not a concern, and there's quicker return to routine activities. The risks include hardware failure with potential paralysis and persistent neck pain from pain originating from facets. In terms of the evidence, in single-level and two-level disease, CDA is equivalent to fusion in neurological improvement and patient-reported outcomes, and CDA is superior to fusion in reoperation rates. Now let's discuss the indications. Primary CDA is indicated in single and double-level cervical radiculopathy and single and double-level cervical myelopathy. Revision CDA is indicated if it is performed within 2 weeks. Contraindications include significant facet degeneration. In terms of preoperative imaging, radiographs that should be obtained include an AP and lateral of the cervical spine. A CT scan is useful to determine positioning and sizing of the implants, and an MRI is required to evaluate central and foraminal stenosis. In terms of the technique, the approach involves an anterior approach to the cervical spine, and in terms of the biomechanics, remember that it is critical to align the center of rotation in both the coronal and sagittal plane. This is especially important in two-level CDA. And lastly, complications include hardware failure. Remember that this may have catastrophic consequences in retropulsion into the spinal canal. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to cervical disc arthroplasty, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A previously healthy 51-year-old male presents with 3 months of progressive upper extremity clumsiness and gait instability. He currently smokes a pack of cigarettes every day. Examination reveals a positive inverted brachioradialis reflex and difficulty with toe-to-heel walking. A flexion and extension radiograph is obtained, and it demonstrates no kyphotic deformity. A T1 weighted MRI of the cervical spine demonstrates single-level disease at C5 to C6. Which treatment would provide the best functional outcome? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, anti-inflammatory medication and physiotherapy. Choice 2, posterior laminoplasty at C4 through C7. Choice 3, posterior laminectomy and fusion at C4 through C7. Choice 4, cervical disc arthroplasty at C5 and C6. Or choice 5, C6 corpectomy with anterior plate placement. The best answer to this question is choice 4, cervical disc arthroplasty at C5-C6. This patient presents with symptoms of cervical myelopathy. Imaging demonstrates single-level disease with no fixed kyphotic deformity. The most appropriate treatment option would be cervical disc arthroplasty at C5 to C6. Cervical disc arthroplasty, or CDA, is a potential alternative to anterior cervical discectomy and fusion in patients with single-level cervical myelopathy. Implants have the potential to preserve motion, avoid limitations of fusion, and allow patients a quicker return to routine activities. A number of randomized controlled trials comparing CDA with ACDF have demonstrated better functional recovery and reduced the risk of reoperations with CDA. Long-term studies are still needed. In a systematic review of comparative studies, Zindrick et al. Analyzed the differences in outcomes between patients undergoing CDA and ACDF. In their review, they demonstrated that most studies were inconclusive or unreliable with regards to clinical outcomes, revision, and or complication rates comparing CDA and ACDF. However, a few studies suggested that single-level CDA may be superior to fusion in terms of better pain relief and lower neck disability scores. The publication by Fellings et al. Performed a prospective study to examine the efficacy of surgical decompression in patients with cervical spondylotic myelopathy. They found significant improvement in functional, disability-related, and quality-of-life outcomes at 1 year after decompressive surgery in these patients. Interestingly, the degree of improvement did not depend on the severity of their preoperative symptoms. The publication by Upadhyaya et al. Looked at cervical single-level disease treated with fusion or disc replacement. At 2 years, they found excellent results in both treatment groups, but arthroplasty was associated with a lower rate of secondary surgery and a slightly higher rate of neurological success at 2 years. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choices 1 and 2. Conservative treatment options would be considered in mild disease with no functional impairment. Choice 3. Multi-level posterior laminectomy infusion would be most appropriate in multi-level disease with no kyphotic deformity. Posterior cervical approaches have shown to have a higher neck disability index. Choice 5. Multi-level combined anterior and posterior decompression infusion would be most appropriate in multi-level disease with a kyphotic deformity. That's all for this review about cervical disc arthroplasty. We hope that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session from OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on orthobullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the OrthoBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the OrthoBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.